Hey guys, I'm Richard Fitzgerald. This is Dubai Works, where we interview the business leaders making a difference in this great city.
That business with scalability was very interesting to me.
I like building something that has legacy.
Good morning. Welcome to another episode of Dubai Works Business Podcast. This week, I'm joined by Aditi Daga, the co-founder of The Beatbox. Aditi, along with her partners Katharina Dixon and Dean Murphy, set up The Beatbox in September last year. It creates 100% plant-based meal kits with inspired recipes, fresh pre-portioned ingredients in biodegradable and fully compostable packaging, and music to cook to. So wow, full package. The Beatbox exists to challenge the status quo of weekly dinners with the objective to reduce food waste, drive sustainable lifestyle, and help time-starved schedules that we're all accustomed to of Dubai residents and Dubai beyond. But today, we're going to talk about the story of the Beatbox, how it came about, and how generally you found setting up a food business in Dubai, and also go into more detail now that we're in Veganuary and talk about plant-based nutrition. So good morning, Aditi.
Good morning, Richard. Thanks for having me.
Good
That's quite
you.
A mouthful of an introduction.
Well, yeah, well, you and the team have obviously put together a fairly reputable company in a short space of time. So you have a lot of well thought out and lots of experience. And it was good to learn about the company in advance. So congratulations on setting up the Beatbox.
Thank you.
And how's it gone? How's it been?
Well, you say officially we started in September, but I feel like the wheels have been in motion for much longer than that. And I feel like our story of the Beatbox is quite synonymous with 2020. We're three friends. We've lived in Dubai for a bonus of 15 years. We've been friends for the whole time. And we're from all over. So I'm from India. One of my co-founders is from Czech Republic and the other co-founder is from New Zealand. It's very much a Dubai story.
Yeah.
And, we found ourselves back in March, April, around this virtual COVID crisis table. Food is something that's always brought us together as friends, but it's also brought us together as colleagues. We've come from a strong hospitality and food and beverage background. And when COVID came and we were all in lockdown, we started to talk about the industry in general, but also how things have changed that industry, how things have changed our jobs and our careers and our world, but not just as people who work in the industry, also as consumers, how demand has changed, how the awareness levels, the expectation from customers. And then vegan food, plant-based food has always been something of a little bit of a contention between the three of us. I've been a vegan for a whole number of years and the other two partners are not. But it's something that's always excited us and brought us together and challenged us. Given the changes that we've made to our personal lives and our diets and our conscious consumerism, it was a natural next step for us to think about how we could bring vegan food to the bigger audience. And we started really simple. We started during COVID just to send meal parcels to our friends and our friends' friends. And then that circle kind of grew and grew and grew. And we started off by simply sharing recipes. Mm. And ingredients. And we said, I know you love the idea of cooking vegan, but it's really hard for you to understand what that next step, how to translate that into action. So here's a meal kit, try it out. And the response, I have to say, was quite overwhelming. So we really started this as small as we could, and it grew into something that we didn't expect. And the reactions from the local food scene or the local consumers has been amazing.
That's amazing. Yeah. Continue.
Initially, we thought that this appeals a lot to people who are vegans and vegetarians who already have that consciousness into their diets, but we were wrong. Most of our audience and most of our consumers are people who consume meat on pretty much a daily basis, but now want to find that balance and struggle to do so.
Yeah, so more of a plant-focused kind of approach, yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. And the whole purpose of the beatbox is really to remove that intimidation factor around, I want to be more focused on eating plants. How do I do that so that the meals are fulfilling, they taste good, they're nutritionally dense, the kids will enjoy it, and it's still fun, you know, it's still a great meal to cook up and have and share. And so it was about all those, hitting all those kind of touch points. And for us, food is very therapeutic. It can be very therapeutic, and so can music. So when we came up with the name The Beatbox, it made perfect sense to combine the two. So basically what we do is with every recipe, you get a Spotify code that has a playlist designed for that recipe.
Yeah.
So you cook to the beat.
That's where it comes from. I was wondering, I thought it might be beetroot or something, but no, there's a music part to it. That's a nice touch.
It is beetroot. We do love that beetroot, but yeah, it is beatbox, yeah. Yeah.
Amazing. So many interesting kind of things there, you know, a COVID sort of, you know, inspired business decision and to take the plunge into that area. And then sort of macro trends around direct to consumer in terms of delivery and things like that and meal plans, but also the vegan trend, which we'll talk a little bit more about. But can you just talk a little bit about, you know, three co-founders coming together, bringing a wealth of experience, and a little bit about your own background and their skill set and experience as well?
Yeah, sure. My other two co-founders have a very strong background in food and beverage and hospitality. That's really where our base is and where we've all come from. And our love for food and how the local food scene has grown. We've all worked with startups. We've all worked with very reputed hospitality brands, you know, really big F&F food and beverage concepts, but also really new concepts. So we bring kind of a varied experience with that. Personally, I left that corporate scene a few years ago to focus on working in development, and that's where I went off and I traveled to a few places. And what I realized is that food is something that not just in the past few years, but in the past decade of my experience, it's always been something that's come up again and again. And it's not just from the development projects that I worked in where there was food scarcity as a problem, but also when you come to places like Dubai where water shortages and, you know, there's issues here about food waste. So food was always sort of a linking factor. So even though I wanted to work in areas of development, food was something that was very pertinent to all the changes that we were seeing in the world around climate change and so on and so forth. When you look at the conversations like 10 years ago in the city, you could almost see people taking a physical step back when you said you were vegan. You say, here comes the preaching, here comes the lecture. And really what's amazing, and I know we're going to touch on this a little later, but what's been amazing is that the dialogue has completely changed around plant-based food. The awareness, the dialogue, and the open-mindedness towards it. But also, I mean, look at Netflix. For the last 5 years alone, the number of documentaries that are dedicated to plant-based food and the link that plant-based food has to your health, to the environment, to animals, and so on and so forth. And it's really amazing to see. And if we had started this business 5 years ago, I think we'd be having a completely different conversation. It was the right time, the right place, yeah, and the right people.
Yeah. It's interesting. Yeah, it does seem to have the right ingredients, pun intended, but the mix seems to be a nice fit. And it's a compelling story. It's interesting. But on the sort of emergence of vegan, I think I first, I remember going, I was in London in 2010 in Islington, and we went for a friend's birthday on Upper Street, and it was a vegan restaurant, and there was nothing else on the menu. So the opposite challenge that people have. And I just couldn't really get my head around it. I just didn't get it. Like, you know, it looked like chicken, it wasn't. And it was lots of those type of products and things like that then. But you know, we saw the trends coming, and you know, sorry, another story, but I'm doing Veganuary this month, and I've been paleo for 5 years, so I'm transitioning. Like, I have a vegan meal plan, so paleo and vegan. But I'm listening to Ultraman book, Rich Roll, and he's talking about plant-based. And it's just amazing how he, you know, busts the myths around protein and where it actually comes from. When you get into it, it's more nutritional and you see the benefits. It's less about the previous connotations, which might be associated with, say, you know, activists and things like that, but actually there is a real awareness around the environment, and there's a real as you said, shift towards that. So it seems to be good timing. But there was a lady from the UK who was interviewed on the radio recently in Dubai, and she set her business up in 1993 or 6 or something like that, over 25 years ago. But they seem to be ready for this shift as well. So do you think that, you know, if you know maybe it would be different, maybe instead of a COVID type delivery type food plan business, that the Beatbox might have been a cafe, say, 5 years ago? Or what do you think?
Sure. I mean, look, setting up the local food scene is incredible, right? It's an incredible space to be in. It's extremely competitive, but it's also very innovative, and which is why we love being in this space. Some of the advantages that we have to other businesses is, one, we don't have the burden of rent, right? We don't have the burden of focusing on footfall or on having a set space.
Do you have a dark Dubai's kitchen?
We do have a dark kitchen. You know, 60% of Dubai's population have some kind of app on their phones to get food delivered to them. Like, people are very used to having technology driving their food choices, which is why it's amazing for us to be able to be in this space where we can come to the customer wherever they are. So we deliver all over the UAE. No restrictions, wow. which is fantastic. And I think the other thing is, for food business in Dubai, you have to have that concept and that menu that transcends trends. Is not so focused on trends, but it's really deep down driven to based on what consumer demands are. And you definitely see that in Dubai. You see that growth of vegan, plant-based food choices, which is, again, really, really good. And it's not just on trend, but it's what is happening in the world. And, you know, being all plant-based helps us manage our food costs a lot better, which is a huge part of the food and beverage business. The fact that we can buy almost most of our products locally where possible, organically where possible, where we can support small farms. So, you know, that is another real big advantage to working in food and beverage right now, and this particular model that we have right now. We are all, the three of us are very involved in the business, as all most founders are. But I think these things really matter when you're doing food and beverage in this city, because it is extremely competitive, and it is, the consumers know what they want and they have enough choice out there to choose from. Yeah.
Can you explain a little bit the decision making and a little bit around the packages and the meal plans in terms of, you know, once you decided that it was going to be plant-based, once you decided that you were going to kind of create, even the decision around meal kits and that, did you look at the different consumer behaviors out there? Did you look at the different apps, the different dark kitchens? And what is the sort of model and the packaging process?
The short answer is no, we weren't that calculated. We went with a lot of the gut feel. So yes, of course, we did look at all the dark kitchen options. We were very thorough with regards to, you know, what kind of options we could have with regards to meals and pricing. But when it came to for example, there's a lot of companies that do meal plans, ready meals, and that hits the spot with a certain demographic and a certain customer base. But what we really wanted to do with this was to teach you how to create those plant-based meals. So it's, again, removing that intimidation factor. If you have a really good vegan meal in a restaurant or it's delivered to you as order in, it might be great. But then if you wanted to ever recreate that, you still have the stumbling block. You know, that so I could go to someone's house and what my co-founders would do.
Yeah.
They would come over, we'd enjoy a great meal together, but would they go home and recreate it? No, there was this gap between what they wanted to do, their intentions, and what they actually did. For us, it was the idea of teaching people or giving people the opportunity to learn how to make their own cheeses at home. You know, everyone always says to me, the hardest part about being vegan is I can't give up cheese. And I get it. I do. I really like, I can't say that I miss it because I think that your palate changes.
Yeah.
And I think of all the things that are, that I don't appreciate about the dairy industry as an example, which is why it makes it easier for me, but it has to be a process. I have preached my entire life about being vegan and it's never gotten me anywhere. So what can I do differently? If I sent you a box, Richard, at home and said, okay, Richard, you've tried vegan for a month. That's great. How about we show you how you can continue doing that? And maybe it's not every day of the week. Maybe it's 3 days of the week. Maybe it's one meal a day. But if you knew, if you had the tools to, you know, the old adage, teach a man to fish and or buy a fish for him.
Yeah.
So that's really where the thinking came from. It had to be about showing the customers.
Yeah.
And since we started that, we've had varied responses. We've had people who've said, well, yeah, great, thanks for showing me how to make the cheese. Can you just put it in the box and give it to me instead? Which is fine.
Yeah.
We've also had people who said, no, we like the step-by-step. We want to learn. So our menu choices, we have 10 new dishes that we introduce every single week. And so it's really focusing on that variety, especially living in Dubai. You're so used to all these different cuisine types and different choices. So it's really about that, but it's also about the balance. We have meals that are 30 minutes or less because people are in a rush to get dinner on the table. We have choices that are low carb, gluten free, and we adapt recipes to that. We also have a variety. So we have things, what I call the challenger meals, where you're really, you know, learning something new, really a dish that you've had 10 times over, you know, in restaurants, but never made yourself, and things that are really simple. Just throw three things in a pan and you've got it. So it's really evolved since we started. And I was so adamant that it had to be something that people create from scratch. But now we understand our audience a little better. And we're learning all the time, every day. The feedback is such an important part of it. Nice. And being in a startup and having that personal connection with your customers has made a tremendous difference to us. A tremendous difference.
So you're kind of directly in touch with them. But so just to explain, you know, I've been exploring a few of the apps and I see there's lots of different vegan options on some menus, but also vegan specific dark kitchens. But if I was to order from the Beatbox, I would choose between how many recipes each week, and you would send the recipes and the ingredients. Is that how it works? And how do I find you? Yeah.
Yeah. So, so you can log, we're on social. So the Beatbox ME, we have a landing page website, which is in development, but we're really active on social. And so you order directly through us, on WhatsApp. We ask that you order a minimum of 2 recipes for the week. There's no commitment. So you can order this week. You can skip a week. There's no commitment there. It's a minimum of 2 recipes simply because of the financials around how the logistics, like we deliver anywhere to UAE and it's free delivery. So it's included, but also the packaging, et cetera. And the fact that if you're trying vegan meals, you really need to try at least 2 recipes to get your head around what you can achieve with plant plant-based meals. So it's a minimum of 2 recipes. We've had people ordering up to 6 recipes a week. We recommend, so everything's pre-portioned, and we send a box with pre-portioned ingredients and the recipe straight to your door, and you just refrigerate it and use it within the next couple of days whenever you're ready to cook. Packaging is a big part of our DNA. It was, it's also a big part of our cost. We do not use anything plastic, single-use plastic especially, but no plastic. So every aspect of our packaging is biodegradable or compostable. We also recycle the bigger boxes and steam clean them, so that, you know, because for COVID. But it's it was a decision that we made very early on, and it was because it was important to us. Whether our customers expected or needed or wanted is a different story, but it was really important to us. We've stayed true to that right from the beginning, and we've searched high and low for these packaging options, which are actually a lot more available now in the UAE market than they would have been a couple of years ago. So that's really great to see as well.
Interesting. And for someone starting out, you know, what they have in the kitchen, what are the basic things that you need, and the rules, that, you know, obviously oil is vegan but honey isn't, and things like that. Like, are there things that are there any basic tips you can give people before they kind of make a little mistake?
When did you realize honey wasn't vegan? Was it pre-January or
I'm learning.
Great. It's great. Yeah. Actually, my 2 co-founders are constantly asking questions, and sometimes I don't fully know. There's, I think people also see a difference between plant-based and vegan. Veganism encompasses for a lot of people an entire lifestyle. So for example, you wouldn't wear leather, really shouldn't own a car. You shouldn't travel. You shouldn't have kids. You know, it goes on. I'm sorry, I've forgotten your question.
No, it's just about the kitchen. Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, if you bring the recipes in, do you give people everything, or do you assume that they will have, say, salt and pepper and oils and things like that?
It's exactly that. So just your basic olive oil and salt and pepper is the only thing that we require you to have. If we're using ingredients that have sesame oil or avocado oil or coconut oil, we will supply it. So we pretty much supply everything except for those 3 ingredients. All the equipment that's required is actually mentioned on the recipe cards. So most of them would require really basic things, a blender, like a NutriBullet even. Maybe some require an oven or a pot and a frying pan. That's it. That's okay. All you really need. Keeping it simple.
can, just to give us a flavor, can you tell us one of the new recipes or dishes that you have this week?
Starting next week, we just cooked up spinach polpettes, which is an Italian meatball. So there's spinach and lemon polpettes with an almond basil pesto, and whole grain spaghetti, as an example. Wow. That was just yesterday.
Okay, good to get a flavor. It's coming up to lunchtime. Aditi, when you decided to set up the business, how did you go around that part of it? You know, how did you do the licensing? And we also heard spoke to some companies during COVID who were doing, there was a pizza company who were make your own pizza, do it yourself, and there was something like that. So and talk a little bit about that in terms of the demand for people now not eating out as much and wanting to cook at home more.
So the visa process was actually relatively simple. We went with Silicon Oasis visa, so Dubai based. We went through an agent that helped us with all the paperwork. It was really easy to put together. We obviously shopped around and did our homework around what it would require. With the kitchen space, we actually looked around a lot. We explored all the options. I felt like we explored all the options. And we finally settled on a kitchen space that's co-owned by Ben's Farmhouse, which is another startup. And someone we know really well. So our kitchen is based out of Silicon Oasis. We went through, we hired the chefs that all had the right certificates. We, our kitchen's HACCP audited and certified. And everyone there was had the right certification. So it was easier for us to go down that route and work with a cloud kitchen or a dark kitchen concept than think of setting up our own, for sure. Even with COVID and even with all the options, and there were a lot of options out there, it was still easier for us to go through a dark kitchen concept.
There can be a lot of things and difficult to navigate at times, but you in the Silicon Oasis, are you registered as a cafe or a restaurant, or do you have that type of license, or what would the activity be for this type of business?
We have a catering license, so it's food delivery and catering. Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. So, someone, irrespective to the concept that you have, if someone wanted to go about, setting up a food delivery business, they're the big questions that they need to figure out. Where do they get their license? What is this? And then how to have the right kind of checks in place and the right kitchen in place that isn't your own kitchen per se. So they were the big decisions.
The advantage with going with some of the bigger cloud kitchens, I think, is if you're focused on cooked food, and delivery, is that they have all of the delivery apps registered with them. So it becomes really easy and accessible for you to then be on these platforms and then cater to that audience. The other advantage with working with cloud kitchens is that they're based in several locations. So suddenly your footfall is, or your catchment area rather, is has expanded from your small little space that you would normally be in to multiple locations across. With our particular business, because we were focused on not cooked food and everything is ordered the day before. So for example, if you wanted to order a meal, you'd have to order it the morning of, so today, for delivery anytime tomorrow. So we work on a 18 hour cycle, if you will. And that made it really hard for us to be on the delivery platforms. We also struggled with the commission structure around delivery. Food delivery is extremely expensive. And really, when we started out, we've launched this business in September, so we're just out the door, really. For us to have for us to be able to commit the numbers that were required by some of the food delivery apps, it was just not feasible and not possible. We just couldn't negotiate it. When we went with this cloud kitchen space, we actually hired a cold chain logistics company that delivers all the food for us. So everything's in refrigerated vans, kept in refrigerated warehouses, and then delivered to the customer. And again, it's all HACCP audited and certified, obviously. So that was a key decision, I think, because that means everybody I know has a food delivery app of some sort on their phone, and not being present on that was a big decision for us, but it was something that was financially driven, but also keeping in mind the nature of the business, we just couldn't have it on demand. Will that change in the future? I don't know. At the moment, we have no plans to change it. And we just want to give it one full financial year and see what the market does.
I think it's interesting. Thank you for sharing that in terms of the ecosystem and the different players and how kitchens adapt and logistic companies adapt and, to provide for your ideas and things like that. So it's great to see how many options, and even that there's you mentioned Ben's Farmhouse and all the different partners that you can have, and the kind of shared stories and things like that is really cool. Also that, when you start a business like this, I was thinking last year when everything was happening that the people who are going to do well are the ones who not just get in touch with the customers, but really sort of feel their way through it. So get out WhatsApp and really connect. And you don't have them, if it's a retail thing, you don't have the big store, but you could be drop shipping or you could be texting, and you can really, once you have the data, then you can make that decision. So if all your customers demand that you're on an app, and then you might go, oh, well, I could be on a super app, which is like an app that does groceries as opposed to Meals in 20 minutes, hot meals in 20 minutes. So I think it's really interesting approach to do it organically and, you know, not also be swept up by all this sort of the other thing that's happening in the space, which is a lot of venture investment into like dark kitchens and other things like that. So it's an interesting story. What else have you learned?
It's definitely tempting. Because you get, it's also never been as accessible to be part of the food and beverage scene as it is today. Like for you to start up, you can pretty much set up a food concept and a food business and get out the door to the first customer in a matter of a couple of weeks. I mean, that's never been possible before. That's really interesting that you can start talking to customers and be on a delivery platform within a few weeks. Whereas before, of course, with brick and mortar taking precedence, you had to really do your market research, and here you're actually doing your market research live. So when we talk to our customers on chat and on WhatsApp, I mean, I know details about our customers' behaviors more so than any market research would have given me had I been in a more traditional setup, or even working through aggregators, because the amount of data that you get through aggregators it can never be this. It can never replicate the kind of conversations that we're having with our customers. I know what time the kids go to take a nap, so don't deliver at that time. I know who has a dog. I mean, we know things about people's lives and we feel so connected to them. But it also makes a difference because of the feedback. So, you know, if you've ever ordered a meal and then had a problem with it and, returned it or had your credit refunded, the amount of information that comes to the restaurant and the ability of that restaurant to do something about it to alleviate that customer's problem or to recover the customer is limited. Whereas if one of our customers had a challenge, we have all the power in the world to do something that would appease them and fix the problem. So that makes a big difference. I mean, you start local and we start organic when you start small. There's a real beauty to it. There's a real challenge to it. You never sleep. You're constantly on coffee, but there's a really amazing satisfaction to it as well.
Interesting. For sure. Amazing. And so what do you and your co-founders have plans for the Beatbox? You know, are you taking it step by step or where would you like to take the business?
We definitely want to be more tech savvy. So we have a lot of ideas around what we want to do to continue to solve those problems. So one idea that we threw out there was you would have a lot of groceries in your refrigerator as an example, but you don't know what to do with them. Or you don't know what to cook with them. Imagine if there was a way for us to develop recipes that would help you use things rather than contribute to food waste. These are ideas that we want to try and start developing. But on a much more simpler level, because music is such a big element, because we want to continue to support the local scene, we want to start working with a lot more local musicians and artists to develop music for us. We want to continue to keep that ratio of or increase that ratio of local produce and organic produce to really make it as high as possible so that we are working with farms and not contributing to the carbon footprint of food. And then I suppose making it simpler and more and easier for people to access resources that help them make those decisions. So nutrition is a big part of it. And we have had, it's really interesting as a co-founder, as a founder of a business, you have these opinions that somehow sometimes take over what would be in the best interest of the customer. And for me, nutrition was one where, we're working with plant-based meals. So everything's whole food, plant-based. So it's all nutritious. So we don't need to do calorie counts as an example. But what we've learned is that customers want that. They have certain goals of their own that we need to respect and help out with. So we're starting to work with nutritionists that can again, deliver that information. One of the big shifts that we were talking about earlier around plant-based meals and the mindset, one of the reasons, I believe two strong reasons. One is the social awareness around it, you know, the likes of opinion pieces, celebrities, and so on and so forth, but also the amount of research that is now you have access to that helps you make an informed decision. Whereas previously, we were reliant on these, you know, kind of jargon-filled reports that would tell you the pros and cons. And here, consumers have so much information at their fingertips. So if you're not sure where vegans get their protein, I mean, all you have to do is Google it, and you will see that protein is never, never an issue. But if I had a dirham for every time someone asks me that.
I know. It's interesting. And I think it's interesting. It's great to hear you describe it like that as well, because there is, it might be, you know, people might see Netflix documentaries, but actually the whole awareness, it's in mainstream media. I know these guys in the UK who've set up a plant-based news media company, and they do PBN Travel, and it's just huge. It's just this, you know, and they really lead with the kind of populist sort of mainstream stuff, but then provide all the information. So it's very accessible now. Like, you know, I'm kind of, as I mentioned, I was starting Veganuary, but doing it as a sort of like, well, when I'm doing the food, I'm also going to consume books related to it, and, you know, interview interesting people and learn more about it, because you can kind of it's pick it up as you go along. You might know everything at the start, and you can kind of choose what suits your lifestyle, how far you want to take it, whether it's leather pants or kids. I don't know, but it's just really interesting as well, on the whole on the other levels, like Bloomberg have green as a brand, which is all about the environment and everything. And just on that, you grew up here in Dubai yourself. How have you seen the sort of city evolve in terms of sustainability and
Yeah, it's a great question. Like I mentioned, being vegan, being vegetarian, vegan from the start wasn't easy. But when you look at, I think we have about four major big groups that are focused on vegans in Dubai and doing vegan in Dubai, so on and so forth. There's about 15,000-20,000 people on these groups, Dubai-based communities that are talking. The entire conversation around those on those platforms is about how do I do this? I'm new to doing this, and support groups that help you navigate your way through it. So it's a complete shift. I mean, I can't even remember. I can't even compare it to 5 years ago. As soon as that, like the last, I feel like the last couple of years alone, Veganuary. I mean, in Dubai, Veganuary is such a big, you know, it's a buzzword. Everyone's embracing it. Not just people and companies, but restaurants. You have restaurants that are now focusing entire menus on plant-based meals. And again, it's really, some of it might be on trend, but a lot of it is really based on consumers asking for it and wanting it and expecting it.
There's demand.
So there is a big, there's an absolutely big shift with that. I think that, you know, you fast forward between now and the next 10 years, I really think that this isn't something that's going to go away. We all know the impact that climate change, that our food choices, our consumption choices have on, climate change is an example, but also food scarcity, animal rights and so on. BBC did an article just yesterday, I believe, about how coronavirus has made consumers more ethical in their choices. You know, people want to shop local, they want to support farms, they want to try and understand where their food comes from, but also what impact that choice has on the entire food chain. So never before has there been this much dialogue, this much conversation, this much awareness, this much research on veganism or plant-based meals. That's super exciting. It's a great time to not just jump on the bandwagon, but allow yourself the opportunity to see what the fuss is all about, at least. We've had, it's been a good month for us because obviously Veganary has helped and you can automatically see that. So when we started the business in September, we had a customer base, but this month alone, the number of people that have been curious and have dedicated themselves to doing Veganary, much as like yourself, just shows. And we're small, only small time, but even some of the more established meal companies have expanded their vegan range and I believe that is a response to what customers want.
Interesting.
We are dedicated to being plant-based, and we're the only ones in the region as far as we can tell. There is no one else in the Middle East dedicated to doing plant-based recipes, which is for us was a big it was a long conversation. My co-founders are not vegan. They're not even really vegetarian. They try to be most of the time, but they're not.
Why not? What do you think?
Why not? Yeah. What would they say?
Yeah.
I think for them, it's part of the process. Like they're learning. They come from cultures where meat has been a big part of their diet, of their culture, their history, and their meal times with their families. So for them to completely shift, even them who are vested in this business, it's really refreshing to work with people who also represent the customer base and who understand the customer dilemmas when it comes to food choices. I would say that they're most of the time they eat vegetarian and vegan meals. They'll definitely opt for it, especially if they're with me in a restaurant, but they don't automatically say that they're vegans, which is an assumption that most people make fairly enough, but it's also just to show that that curiosity can be met without you having to convert to being completely vegan until you're ready. Being plant-based requires time and effort and understanding. So you want to make sure your meals are complemented and that you're planning and that you know what you're doing. And the whole part of the journey with the Beatbox is really to give you those tools to help you do that.
Yeah.
Because if you decide, okay, 1st of January, I'm going to be vegan or plant-based, and then you open your fridge and there's nothing really there, you're naturally going to fail, and we want to give you every step to succeed. So
I think I just asking why out of, because I think it's just interesting for people. Like I wasn't for a long time, and I knew at some point in my life, because of all this information, that it will make natural sense to test it out. And I would look at it from an endurance sport point of view, from an energy point of view, and try and research that. But at the other level, in terms of running a business, you don't necessarily, need to be a car enthusiast to sell cars. You don't necessarily, if you kind of understand consumer behaviors and trends, you can still operate and run a very good business. So I didn't mean that from an acquisition of point of view. They don't have to be more authentic. Like it can be a very legit business.
It's actually really good to have that balanced viewpoint, because I bring, for me, it's a very conscious decision to be solely plant-based. When we initially started, there was the conversation, can we be vegetarian and vegan? But that did not hold true at all to what I wanted to do, because there's still challenges with being vegetarian and the same challenges around animal welfare and climate change and et cetera also impact when you're vegetarian. But so it was never but those questions were asked, can we do a bit of both? Can we do some cheeses? Can we
it's good. It's good because it kind of people if they want it, they will find you and they will learn.
But it wasn't a financial decision to just focus on vegans for sure. Even though now the numbers and the trends and it all looks like that's the right space to be in, it's a very niche space still, really niche. And you know, it's growing and we're probably a couple of years ahead of the real, you know, the real growth, I would say, especially here in Dubai. So you still see, so it's still a very niche market. So it was not a financially driven decision to just be in the vegan space for sure.
If you,
it was more of a,
the more of the purpose. And it's part of the kind of sustainable story of Dubai as well, which is nice to hear. But I think in terms of behavior challenges, you know, you've got people who cook, you've got people who order groceries, delivery or collect, and you've got people who order delivery at home in terms of people who eat out, and there's reservation apps and things for that. But you mentioned earlier about the plans. So for example, just tell a personal story. So when I said I was going vegan, my mum said, Richard, why don't you just be happy? Why keep changing? and then she said, I think you should take a really long, hard think about this. In other words, like, and then she said, not for me, no thanks, no way, right? And even though not a big meat eater, but comes from Ireland, as we discussed before, you know, the cow and the farms and the milk and the meat, it's just so ingrained in lifestyle. And then Richard, but you love eating fish in nice restaurants, like you really will like it. But even then, yesterday, just arrived yesterday, and there's already a vegan Bite snacks, like a kind of an oaty based cake made. So for her, it's accessible in terms of, you know, you can get vegan products in the store, and there are lots and lots, as you will know, there's lots and lots of vegan recipe apps. But how do you kind of, you know, how would I then with my mum per se, you know, think that this is going to be a benefit? And then if you are providing the recipes and the ingredients, then would it not be natural fit to have cooking videos and to make learning and teaching extra in terms of content? Is that what you're looking at?
100%. If we could be in 20 places at the same time, which we kind of are, we have all the plan. There's a lot of requests for video content and for online online recipes and cards to translate that into content that people can watch and cook at the same time. It's just a matter of actually doing it. We have all the plans to do it, but we haven't got around to doing it. We're self-funded.
I saw the big sigh, so sorry for putting more pressure on.
No, I mean, you hit the nail on the head. You're absolutely right. We, you know, like video is something that everybody finds a lot easier to follow. We try and keep the recipes really simple. You know, a lot of the things are pre-made for us in the kitchen space. So one thing that you should, that I should probably highlight is that a lot of the foods that are cooked, like the beans, we all cook it from dry, and we actually try and limit the preservatives and additives as well. So that's really good. So when everything comes to you, it's quite minimal, and the recipes are fairly simple to follow. You're talking about 5, 10, 15 minutes of prep, and then everything's in the oven or on the, you know, on the stove. So the idea is that if you wanted something really simple and quick, a recipe should help you navigate that quite easily. But yes, we want to do video, and yes, we're on it.
Well,
it's
the
next
great
time
to,
you and I have a conversation.
Exactly.
A different one.
A lot will be changing. So it's a bit, and you know, I think that's good note to finish it on. It's been amazing chatting to you, and timely.
Thank you.
And I pronounce it right next time. Veganery.
Veganery. Oh yeah. There's a few, and you mentioned a term that I hadn't heard before: the paleo and vegan combination.
Yeah, vegan. So Cycle Hub, Cycle Bistro, they have a paleo meal plan that I've been getting, and they said the vegan one, and I thought it was just something they made up, but one of my friends in the US sent me a link to vegan. So it's obviously somewhere out there, but they're actually, as you know, they're closely related. So there's already no dairy and there's no refined kind of things like that. So I just had to cut out eggs and meat, which has been tricky. I did really well I did really well for 10 days because we were isolated and had meal plan. And then we went for lunch in this really nice Portuguese restaurant, and the chef came over and he said, any dietary requirements? And I said, no, I forgot to say I'm vegan because I didn't register that I am. So, and then the dishes kept coming and it was a taster menu and all this beautiful fish came out. And I was like, uh-oh. And at the end, I had avocado basically for lunch. And then at the end, because I didn't have anything. And then he brought this big meringue cake and he said, I'll get you some fruit salad. And he forgot. And leaving 2.5 hours later, he said, oh, I forgot about your fruit salad. So that was my most difficult moment this month. But yeah, so I know what you go through.
I really want you to I'm going to get you to try the Beatbox because it's really more than avocado and fruit salad.
I get it. It's just learning and knowing and things like that, but in restaurants. Yeah. But as you said, there's so much more awareness now and so many places have options. Anyway, Aditi, really nice to speak to you and congratulations to you
really
and your
nice.
Co-founders. And
we'll
follow the Beatbox story. That's it for another episode of Dubai Works. Thank you so much for listening. And please leave a review on the podcast platform that you're listening to. It really helps with organic searches. Also, if you'd like to appear on Dubai Works or know someone who has an inspiring business story in Dubai, please do get in touch on any of the smashy social platforms.